Well, joining me now to work out this work-life balance equation are Aoife Porter, Matt Griffiths and Alma McCarthy. You're all very welcome to the programme. Aoife, if I could start with you, you run your own business based here in Strandhill. It's a digital marketing business called Bua Marketing. Have you got the work-life balance sussed?
I'm not sure if I've got it sussed, Richard. I've been here in Sligo 5 years, and I suppose what I'd say is I've never been happier in my life than when I've been living here in Sligo. I spent 10 years in Dublin. I worked for Microsoft and kind of in the bigger software sector. And until I came here and set up my own business and do something that I actually really like, I have never been happier getting up in the morning. I think it's tricky. I have a 3-month-old and a 2.5-year-old. So I think the biggest challenge I have is being a self-employed mother. That's not easy because, you know, straight away after having the baby, I was back at work. But I think being here gives you enough of the balance that it justifies that challenge.
Matt, what about you? You're originally from Australia. You have set up your own business. You're managing director of Ox Business Systems based out in Ross's Point. What took you to Sligo?
It's probably quite a journey altogether. We'd come back to Ireland to be closer to my wife's parents. And when we'd been living in Dublin for a little while, I realised that we had an opportunity. We still had everything that we owned in life in a sea container. And two young children, and I realised that once we unpacked that sea container, we'd be pretty settled wherever we were. And so I had a chat with my wife, and I said, could we take the opportunity to move to the west coast of Ireland and be somewhere where we'd really like to live whilst we've got this chance? And miraculously, she agreed, and here we are.
And you like to surf, so you pretended that that was low down the criteria, but in fact it was fairly high up, was it?
I tried to not emphasise that at all, but she's on to me. She knew what I was up to, of course.
When you were in Australia, you've made this decision to move. You're thinking about life and what it might be like. How has the reality compared? Has it been difficult?
Certainly. You can't move to a special place in the world and expect it to be easy, or else there'd be thousands of other people doing it as well, and we've had to certainly earn our stripes. So you've got to establish yourself and your income and your business. You have to re-establish your children and meeting a whole new circle of friends, and it's been pleasurable. It's been great fun meeting a load of people, but it's a restart of life for us. It takes a lot of effort.
Aoife, you in a way had what lots of people would envy and look for. You were working for a major corporation like Microsoft. You had all of the career stuff going, but you turned your back on that in 2009 in the teeth of a massive recession to set up your own company.
I think anyone who wants to live in the west of Ireland, you know, there is something that's going to be more important than just work for what you do. And it, for me, it was that balance of, you know, being able to have the Atlantic outside my front door, have a good community here, and still do something that I like doing, which was the digital marketing side of things.
But do you end up, because you're running your own company, do you end up working more than you did when you were at Microsoft?
Loads.
Longer hours?
Loads. In the first few years, probably 60 or 70 hours a week. And I know there's people that work more than that. But anyone who's setting up their own business has to put in a lot of time. If you don't like what you're doing, that's really hard. Thankfully, I do. But still, you know, when you're in it, it seems really hard to go through where you're just day after day working. But I think after a few years, you can take a bit of a deep breath, you're a bit more established, and then you can look at what are the other elements you were here for in the first place.
Alma McCarthy, you're a lecturer and MBA director at NUI Galway. The whole idea of work-life balance, it sounds to me like a fairly recently made up word, but we're all talking about it.
Yes, I suppose it probably started in the United States. I was there myself working a number of years ago, and there was a lot of focus on it at that point in the human resource management debates. I suppose there's two drivers, really. There is looking at it from the perspective of organisations trying to look at good human resource or personnel management practices, and how best they can attract good employees in the first place, how they can, you know, enhance things like motivation, productivity, performance, and also avoid some of the sort of adverse issues when work-life balance is very much out of kilter, things like stress, job burnout. And also, I suppose, so from that perspective, organisations are interested because it does have an impact on employees and performance. But employees are also demanding, you know, as Aoife and Matt have mentioned, there's people are starting to think more about the different domains and how much time they're spending in the work or professional side, how much time they're putting into family. But there's also other domains like your personal life and leisure, etc., that are important.
Is there a sense in which some, you know, big companies pay a bit of just lip service to the work-life balance idea? I've heard lots of managing directors say things like, we don't care what time you come in the morning or what time you leave, as long as you get done what we need you to get done, it's up to you, it's about flexibility. The reality is, the tasks that they set them to do require massive hours of being in the office.
Yes, and this is one of the challenges, I suppose, is rhetoric versus reality. And what's important is that, you know, the experiences people have match up with what the company is saying. And we did a big national study a number of years ago at NUI Galway on work-life balance. There was 750 employee responses across a number of different organisations. And some of the issues around culture are critical. So the culture and the perceptions of people who might focus more on the personal domains can be have an adverse impact on their career, and they can be seen, for example, people have a perception that it can have negative career consequences. So that experience and the experience of your line manager very much influences what people actually experience versus what might be said in brochures.
So in other words, a company says we have all of these flexi time and work-life balance arrangements, and then as soon as you sign up for them, you're worried that you're sending out a signal that I'm not really serious about going up the corporate ladder.
Yes, so we found a big difference between what was available and usage, because there are so many other things that come into play as barriers to people actually using them. And especially for females, I think it's a challenge.
Aoife, would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think often with bigger organisations, sometimes, especially any public companies that have shareholders in the background, the human element gets lost. And yeah, there are loads of initiatives in place, but at the end of the day, you've got objectives, you've got a target, you've got this or that. And if those aren't done, all of the other things don't really matter. Whereas I think people who choose, say, to live somewhere like Sligo, you're choosing to step back a bit. And yes, I miss some of the career opportunities I had in Dublin. I miss some of the clever people I got to work with over time. But that's balanced out by, I've happy kids at home. I have a great circle of friends here in Strandhill. There's this amazing community that's here. And those things, you know, outweigh all of the big career opportunities I would have had if I stayed where I was, I think.
Matt, what have you found? I mean, what is one of the biggest pluses of the move that you've made from a work and work-life balance point of view compared to when you were in Australia?
It's probably, although I would suffer from the same hard-working hours that Aoife does, and suffer is probably not the right word, but it's the knowing that these work-life balance options are available to me. It's knowing that if I wanted to, I could pop out and play 9 holes of golf after the children have gone to bed, and it would be right on my doorstep. And knowing that this weekend I might be able to go for a surf and not have to drive 3 hours to get there. And that actually makes a huge difference when you're putting in the hours and focusing on what you're doing.
But then equally, because you're running your own business, at 9 o'clock at night, you might have a load of emails to do that if you were an employee, when you knock off work, you knock off work. It never stops, does it?
Absolutely. When push comes to shove, there's only one person who can take care of it, and that's myself and the people that I'm working with. So when those busy times are on, we have to do it. And we need to make sure that those times don't go on and on and on. It's important that reasonably regularly you get a bit of downtime.
Alma, what about the history of the office and the idea of the 9 to 5? When did all of that start?
Well, I suppose it's probably relatively recent if you think about, you know, the commercial industrial context has probably driven it, the concept of the work being performed 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. And I suppose a lot of research has been conducted in those kind of environments. But there's an awful lot of other work environments that are not that. So there's, you know, if we think about the healthcare context, hospitality, etc., entrepreneurs, it's the Monday to Friday 9 to 5 doesn't apply. And from our study that we did at NUI Galway, one of the things that employees were asking more for was having more flexibility around when they worked and where they worked, so that they were looking for more options to work from home, so that, you know, you reduce your commuting time, etc. But again, organisations haven't moved as much as one might expect with all the developments in technology.
The kind of stereotype of the 9 to 5 isn't that much of a reality, as you're pointing out. I mean, abroad, for example, I know in Japan, people don't necessarily get 2 days off on a Saturday and Sunday every weekend. In the United States, what would it be like?
In the US, people tend to get about 2 weeks annual leave, about 10 days. That seems to be the norm. The statutory provisions in the United States wouldn't be as good at all as what we have here in Europe around maternity leave, etc. Parental legislation, there's none of that in the United States. So we do quite well. I mean, Scandinavia, the Scandinavian countries would be the leaders in the whole area of work-life balance.
Is there a big difference between private sector and public sector in Ireland and work-life balance?
Yes, we looked at that.
You're smiling.
There's a lot of people smiling at me here.
Aoife's smiling even bigger.
Yeah, I'm sure maternity leave is slightly different.
Yes, so the, you know, access to things like even the statutory provisions are available, private and public, I suppose, but things like term time working, part-time working, reduced working hours are much more prevalent in the public sector than the private sector. And we definitely found differences in the study we did in that regard.
Is that not only the availability of flexible measures, let's say, for example, which makes the public sector maybe a more progressive employer in many cases, but does it also have to do with, in the private sector, increasingly, people are set goals? It's about goal and target-driven work rather than putting in the shift.
Yes, and as Aoife mentioned, you know, if you sit for your annual performance appraisal and you haven't met your 5 objectives, they probably don't care too much in the private sector as to why. You know, it'll be looking at performance and output. So that's the reality of a lot of organisations. There have been moves to try and get more performance management systems in the public sector as well, and there is a move in that way, but it mightn't be as clearly defined yet.
Matt, we have this image of Australia as, you know, they're all out on the beach and everybody's surfing and they're all wearing sandals and they do a bit of work and they seem to manage very, very nicely. How would you compare Australia from a work-life balance point of view with what you've seen in Ireland?
There'd be similarities and differences. The working culture is pretty fierce in Australia. It might be a little bit different to what you're thinking there. People are up very early, very, very early. Hitting the road at 5:45 a.m. is very common to get into town. And they're working pretty big hours, I would say. I would say that people tend to carry on more work after hours here in Ireland, though. And that would be a big difference.
So in Australia, when they're finished, they're finished?
When they're finished, they're finished. And whereas people here would be taking calls, firing off emails until it needs to be done. And it's a sort of a more ongoing social type of working aspect here, conversing with the people who you know in your network.
Aoife, there might be people listening who have a long, difficult commute in a city like Dublin or Cork or whatever it is, they're in a long hours as employees, and they're thinking about Strand Hill, and they're thinking about a Saturday morning and all the good weather we've had. Is it as good as it's cracked up to be in their minds?
Yes.
Of course it is.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that I can't really paint a negative picture of it.
What about a wet Tuesday in November and the wind and the rain are whipping in?
You just put on a raincoat.
And you're busy because you've got to try and get to a client and you've got to make this work, and you're thinking, this wasn't what I had in mind when I left Microsoft.
You always have those moments, you know, but I think everything else outweighs it. The things that I put in place is, okay, well, do I like what I'm doing? You know, do I have a circle of friends that I can empathise with who are self-employed or who are motivated to kind of do the same things? Am I inspired by them? And is my family life okay? And once those things are okay, you've certain no-goes that are in.
Can you make money? I mean, if you have a very good employee executive job in a place like Dublin and you want your children to go to school and all the costs, you're taking a huge risk.
Yeah, so I have a wonderful husband who has gainful employment, so I'm lucky to have that in the background. And I think, you know, in a lot of scenarios, you kind of need that. He's also my accountant, which helps. But, you know, yes, do I have a profitable business? Yes, I do. If I was in Dublin, I'd probably be making a lot more money, but I still think my quality of life here, if I was to pay childcare in Dublin, two cars, we wouldn't have family around, that would mean that the quality of life that I would have compared to here just wouldn't be the same. And I'm not trying to negate anything, anybody's life in Dublin. You know, everything's relative to what you do. I'm just very happy here, and I would recommend it to other people.
Okay, so Westlife is all it's cracked up to be. Aoife, Matt and Alma, thanks very much for joining us on the programme this morning.